Everyone, welcome to another episode of the podcast. So today I'm going to divide the podcast into a little bit of a news section, and then the later part, the second part of the podcast, I'm going to talk a little bit about my experience so far in nurse practitioner school. So we're going to start off with talking a little bit about TikTok and Huawei, however you say it. It's always hard to pronounce some of these Asian companies or Asian terminology or Chinese terminology. In this case, I've been hearing a lot of talk about the whole situation with TikTok. So recently there was a hearing in the US where the Democrats and the Republicans both voted on whether they should allow TikTok to be used here in the United States. And I feel like there's a little bit of confusion because I see a lot of people saying that, hey, the US government is trying to ban TikTok. They're trying to take away our freedom of speech. They're trying to ban a platform where you're allowed to speak your mind freely. And how freely we could speak it, a little bit unknown. I know a lot of these other social media platforms, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, they do have some censorship. Twitter, before it was change to X, also had its scrutiny about people being censored, shadow banned, all those kind of things. I'm sure TikTok has its own way of shadow banning or of limiting free speech. That just happens on every single platform, no matter what platform you use. So like I said, there seems to be a little bit of confusion going on with TikTok. Everyone is saying, hey, the US government is trying to ban TikTok. They're trying to remove our freedom of speech and they shouldn't be able to do that. But I actually looked a little bit deeper, a little bit closer to the bill that was being voted on between the Republicans and a Democrat. So I took a little bit of a closer look regarding this bill. So technically, it has passed the House. So by decision, by both parties voting on it, it has passed the House. So now it's going to go to the Senate to have another look at it. So the way legislation is passed is that it has to go through the House, through Senate, and then it goes to the president and then becomes a law, right? So you have the bill that's presented to a committee. Then the committee goes, hey, this is a good bill. Or they say, hey, we're going to change a few things. Then they present it to the House and Senate. And then once that gets voted on, if the majority agrees on passing this bill, it gets passed by the House, then it gets passed by the Senate, and then it gets delivered to the president, and then the president also plays a role in saying, hey, I'm going to veto this, or hey, I'm going to rule this in, or we got to change some of this stuff. So there's three systems in play: House representative, the Senate, and then a president. They all have to agree to have this bill passed, and then it becomes a law. So before I dive deeper into this TikTok situation, I want to talk a little bit about Huawei or Huawei, because this was on the political spectrum back in like 2017, 2018, 2019. Huawei was on a path to become the biggest telecommunication company, dethroning Samsung, but then it ran into some troubles with the United States and also some troubles with the European Union and different countries in Europe. So Huawei was making cell phones and it was also making different parts in the telecommunication process, like cell phone towers, cell phone parts, things like that. And what they were accused of, because I'm not 100% sure that they were caught doing this, but they were being accused of sending information to the CCP, to China, because for some of you that don't know, in China, they don't really have a free market system like we do here, right? Companies don't have to tell the government exactly what they're doing. They have private operations, and if the government wants to dig deeper in a company, they have to do it through legal means. So basically, there's a separation between government powers and also corporate and private entity power. So there is some separation there. Versus in China, the CCP, They're all.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Are companies, but they, you could say, pledge their allegiance to the Chinese government. So basically, whatever the government wants in China, it has to be delivered by these companies, or they get blacklisted, they get kicked out, they get destroyed, they get split up. So basically, in China, you have to be on good terms with the government to be successful. And whatever the government is asking you to do or asking you to provide, they provide it with any kind of, without any kind of argument or without any kind of legislation. They just have to give it over because the government plays a big role in their corporate structure. Versus here in the US, corporate structure and the governmental structure are separate. So somebody from Congress can't just say, hey, give me this, I want it. They have to go through it in legal means, and that has to get approved, because you don't have to disclose to the government every single thing you do as a company. Of course, you have to abide by certain regulations, because then you're doing things illegally. But when it comes to information or communication between them, it's all separate. So Huawei was actually accused of providing information from private citizens here in the US and in Europe and in different countries in the world. It was providing information on, you could say, us to the Chinese government. So for example, if somebody in the army had a Huawei phone, Huawei basically has access to everything on that phone. They listen to people's conversations, they have your keystrokes, they basically know everything about you through the phone, or whatever information you have on the phone, and that gets passed on to the Chinese government, because if whatever the Chinese government wants, they receive. So they got a lot of backlash because they're helping build infrastructure in the United States, in Europe, in the world. And what that infrastructure is doing is there's like a backdoor through it, and then it's allowed to provide information to the Chinese government, which is a big deal, because we know that the US government does do its fair share of spying on us. And you could say it's a little bit different when you have a outside country that doesn't necessarily uphold your values or your morals in a way, also taking your information. So no matter what we do, our information is getting taken by corporate entities in the US. But I guess on a positive note is, at least this information is in the US versus another country taking our information for themselves in a way. Both countries are spying. The only thing is you're giving your information away to China instead of the United States without even knowing it, because nobody said that, hey, you know, we're sharing this information with China. You're building your radio towers, your cell phone towers, your cell phones with our equipment, and there's backdoors to a different country. You know, that's not really, really, really fair. Of course, if you look on the terms and conditions of Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, they're technically all allowed to take your information. But the thing is, that information is going just to these companies, and then they use it for marketing. What's going on with Huawei was that they're taking this information and they're giving it to a Chinese government, which I'm sure a lot of you probably have not known. And this was disclosed back in 2019, and the president at that time made a ban on Huawei technologies, Huawei cell phones, anywhere in the United States, like space, in the US sector, because we were getting these hints, these ideas that, hey, this technology is actually spying on us, spying on our citizens, spying on us. And it's providing some information to a different country outside the United States, and in this case, China. So that's the whole Huawei controversy. And that was back in 2019. I believe it was President Trump at the time, and the Congress and the House and the Senate all passed the law saying that, hey, we are banning Huawei devices anywhere in like the United States government and anywhere that has to do with the United States, which then leads to this whole situation with TikTok, because TikTok is owned by a company called ByteDance, and this company's headquarters is in China. So basically what they're being accused of is the same thing that Huawei was being accused of, is taking our personal information and transferring it to the Chinese government for their benefit, for whatever they want to use it for. I'm not sure what they want to use it for, maybe marketing things as well, but who knows. But now it's like, not only are Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, X, formerly known as Twitter, taking your information, but now we have a different country taking our information. And this isn't just one company, it's the Chinese government that's taking this information. And it could be dangerous, because if you look at the terms and conditions, whenever you open up TikTok and you don't close out of it and it stays open in the background, it's monitoring everything you're doing. It's monitoring your keystrokes. It's looking at who you're texting. It's looking at who's in your contact. It's literally looking. It's basically, when you have it opened, it's allowing TikTok to look at every single thing in your cell phone. And that's scary. It's scary for any company to do. But just like with other social media platforms, we allow it because we like the platform itself. Lots of times these companies are labeled as tech companies. Like Instagram is considered a tech company, Google, tech company, Meta, tech company. All these companies are considered tech companies. But if you really think about it, that's kind of like a shadow, a fog, because they're really not tech companies. They're not creating new tech and selling it. That's not what they're doing. So if you think about it, how can it be a tech company if it's not making new tech and selling it, right? It's more of a marketing company. It actually is a marketing company, because how do these platforms make money? They make money off your data. They make money because people pay them to advertise on those platforms. So technically, they're not really tech companies. They're more of big, giant marketing companies, because they're not creating any new tech. And if they do create new tech, they keep it for themselves. Keep it for themselves to then use on us to then better gather data, and which then it sells to other companies. So these tech companies, social media platforms, aren't tech companies. They are just giant marketing companies with crazy infrastructure, and that's what they really are. Tech companies sounds cool because, oh, it has to do with technology, but really it just has to do with marketing. So back to the whole TikTok debate. So like I was saying in the beginning, everyone was saying that, hey, government is trying to limit our speech. They're trying to take away free speech. They shouldn't be able to ban an app, a platform that we can use, that we should use. But that's what people are wrong. They're not banning TikTok itself. They're banning the fact that TikTok is a Chinese-run company. So they're okay with TikTok being here as long as it sells its American infrastructure, or the American wing, the United States wing of TikTok, to a United States-based company. So I read this bill. It's actually called bill number HR 7521, and it's called Protecting Americans from Foreign Adversary Controlled Applications Act. And when you read through it, for example, when you look at it, the act itself, it says to protect the nation, act itself, it says to protect the national security of the United States from the threat posed by foreign adversary controlled applications such as TikTok and any successor application or service, and any other application or service developed or provided by ByteDance LTD or an entity under the control of ByteDance LTD. So this is a prohibition of foreign adversary controlled applications. It shall be unlawful for an entity to distribute, maintain, or update a foreign adversary controlled application by carrying out within the land or maritime borders of the United States any of the following. And it goes into like three subcategories. So basically, when you read into this law and you actually read the print, not what everyone's just saying, when you actually read what they're actually calling for, is they're not calling for the ban of TikTok. Because if they were calling for the ban of an application and this would go through, this would mean that at this point, the government could ban any kind of social media platform or app. Because the way law works is that if it's allowed in one scenario, then it could be also allowed in another scenario if it fits that same framework. That's why when, if you look at law, or I'm sure you probably have seen like Law and Order, they always say, according to law, this, this, and this, this person was proven guilty on these means. So this is the same idea. So my client should also be proven guilty or not guilty. So they use that as a reference. So if the government can outright ban something like an app, then that means it could also ban another app in the future if it's a similar circumstance. But in this case, they're not asking to ban TikTok itself. They're asking to ban the Chinese ownership of a platform or an app that is being used in the United States, because they realize that, hey, this app is providing data on users, US citizens, to China. And that could be a threat to national security because, for example, politicians are on TikTok. People in the army are on TikTok. US personnel are on TikTok. So imagine if there's a conversation going on under closed doors talking about China, talking about other things that are very important to national security. And imagine if TikTok is able to listen on that, because technically you had that platform open in your background. That's when it kind of becomes scary, because Facebook might be doing the same thing, Instagram might be doing the same thing, but guess what? Their benefit is similar to the benefit of the US government. So they're on the same team, in a sense, versus China is on a different team. I hate breaking up things into teams because it shouldn't be us versus them or them versus us, but every country has its own interests, right? That's why we have borders. And as humans, I hope you could figure out one day on how to peacefully negotiate with one another instead of trying to outdo one another. But just to make things clear, is this bill is not banning apps. It's banning foreign government-controlled apps from doing business strictly for their government. Because this bill, if this bill gets passed, TikTok could still exist. It's going to exist. The only thing that's going to change is the US platform of TikTok is going to have to be owned by a US company, or it's not going to be able to be on the App Store or function in the US. So I know for some of you, this sounded scary in the beginning, and I hope I shed some clarity on it, because I was confused myself. And then I was looking at it and I'm like, hey, this isn't just outright banning the app. It's banning foreign governments from owning apps and platforms that might not be part of the same value base, or might not be on the same team as the United States, that it can cause harm in a sense. So that basically sums it up, is the battle isn't about should TikTok be an app store or should be able to use TikTok. It's about foreign powers owning platforms that then generate data of US citizens. And this is not just a US issue. This is a global issue. It's a worldwide issue. Same way other countries shouldn't have China also interfering with their citizens' data in a sense. So I find that really interesting. It definitely caught my attention. I definitely saw a lot of people saying that, hey, call your senators, call this person, call your congressman, because they're trying to ban an app. They're not trying to ban an app. They're trying to ban foreign control over an app. In this case, I feel like they're in the right. I feel this is a good thing to do, because I understand that everything we post on social media is being, in a sense, used against us. It's being used for marketing. But at least that marketing stuff is staying inside the United States and it is being privately owned versus being then dispersed to other governments, in this case, China. You know, as technology moves forward, there's always that conflict of how much privacy am I willing to lose or to give up for convenience. It's always there. It's always going to be there, because I won't say because, but what I've noticed over time is things are most efficient when they are less private in a way, because there's less hoops to go through. There's less things you have to abide by when it's just like an open kind of platform, because you don't have to employ as much sensors. You don't have to employ as much tech to kind of look through what's allowed, what's not allowed. Is this being private? Is this being secure? There's less steps. There's less steps between you and your post, in a sense, if you're sacrificing privacy. Because if you want to be more private, guess what? You have to figure out a way to somehow change this post into now a unanimous post. You know what I'm saying? It gets really complicated. And yeah, I feel like it's just been a constant battle these last couple of years of how much of our privacy are we willing to give for convenience, for efficiency, for just being able to use a platform. Because the terms and services for all these social media platforms, they have changed over time, and they change every year, sometimes every month, because there's new ways of these platforms picking up data. And the more data they have, the more money comes in through marketing, because you're essentially a target for their business. Their business is your data. Your business is your data as well, but you can't necessarily personally sell your data, right? There's no way of us personally selling our data. So companies are basically doing it for us in our own expense, but also for convenience and for the ability to use their platform. So I hope I did a good job of summarizing the whole TikTok situation. If you guys know more information about it, feel free to reach out or just contacting me through one of these social media platforms that I was just talking about, and just, you know, share with me what you think. Am I getting it wrong? Am I maybe confused on something? Am I not reading it properly? So just let me know. So now I wouldn't mind talking a little bit about my experience so far with Nurse Practitioner School. So I am 8 weeks into NP school, and so far it's been good. I finished my class. It was basically a class about policy, a little bit of politics, organizations, things like that. It was just basically papers based, and it's all online. And this is my first time taking an exclusive online class, and plus it's asynchronous. So there's no presentation. There's PowerPoints that you could read on your own, but there isn't like a professor reading you the PowerPoint or giving you notes. You're basically on your own. But the nice thing about this was that I am doing it at my own pace. So people that are maybe thinking about going to NP school, and I'm not sure if every school allows a online version and a in-class version, but if you're curious about the online version and if it's asynchronous, it's definitely doable. It's 100% doable, and it's doable while still being able to work. Because you're only doing one or two classes at a time. It's like a 2 to 3 year course. So I should be done with this anywhere from two to three years, hopefully sooner than later. And you can work full time and do this because you're doing everything on your own time. So that makes things a little bit easier. You're not responsible for, hey, you have to be in this class on Tuesday. You have to watch this lecture by Wednesday or whatever. You just have due dates, and you just gotta manage your time and be able to turn in things on those due dates. But everything else is asynchronous. You're doing everything else on your time. They give you a syllabus, they give you a schedule and due dates, and it's your responsibility to figure that out. And I thought I might have like a little bit of an issue with this, because I'm more of like a, when it comes to school, first of all, I was never really the best at school, so always a more structured environment I felt was always more beneficial for me. Like class from 9 to 12. You get a lecture, you do notes, and then you go home and study. Exam every Friday. Like that's what I liked, because it kept me on course, and I know I had to be there. So this was, I thought was going to be a little bit of a challenge, because now I have to almost motivate myself to do these things, because there's no expectation of, hey, you have to attend this class. It's, hey, do what you want, turn stuff in on time, and make sure it's done correctly and properly. So that was an interesting experience. My next class is going to be a stats class, so I will see how that goes. But in this course, like I said, it was more of a paper-based course. What we had was, we had discussion boards every week. So every single week we had discussion boards, and a handful of times we had to talk about like a newsletter. We had to subscribe to a healthcare related newsletter, and some of those discussions board were focused on that kind of newsletter. It was also a research-based class, so I had to write 3 papers in the class, and also had to do a debate. The debate was interesting. It was actually easier than I thought, because like I said, I was kind of skeptical on, hey, how is asynchronous class going to work? It's going to be kind of hard to plan stuff, but it's not as hard as you think. The debate went well. It was actually, like I said, easier than I thought. For the debate, we had debate topics to choose from, and I picked my topic a little bit late, so I got a little bit of a more difficult topic, or at least I felt like it was more difficult, but at the end, it was even that difficult. There was 3 of us in the group, and we actually spoke on the negatives. So we were debating against federal regulation of the cost of prescription drugs for Medicare and Medicaid. We did a pretty cool PowerPoint. I learned a lot, and maybe I'll put it on the website, or I'll probably link it down in the description, if anything, so you guys could check it out. So I actually argued against prescription drug prices. So that was pretty cool. And then the 3 papers that I wrote, we did have like topics to pick from, but I thought, hey, you know, let me try pick a topic that I maybe would like to write about more or learn about more, because in nursing school, I feel like these topics were more forced on you, and you had to just pick whatever topic was recommended to you or whatever list of topics you had to choose from. And I always never liked that. So this time around, I was like, hey, you know, I've been a nurse for 6-7 years and I'm going to grad school now. So let me maybe take more control of what I really want to do, what I really want to write about. So I happened to write all 3 papers about the benefits of psychedelic therapy as an alternative to the current mental health treatment. So I wrote my papers about psychedelic therapies, and I compared them to basically SSRIs, NSRIs, and medications like that, and the more standardized approach of how we tackle mental health in this United States, because I've always been interested in psychedelics like ketamine, psilocybin, DMT, all those kind of things, because I feel like a lot of people have a lot of benefit from them. I even interviewed somebody that owned a ketamine clinic, and we talked a lot about that, about how ketamine helps with PTSD, helps with depression, certain mood disorders, and I always found that to be a little bit of a better treatment than having to be dependent on a pill every single day. And by the time those pills start working, it's 3-4, maybe 6 months versus psychedelic therapy. It's a lot of times it's more of a breakthrough treatment where on the first, second, third session, you might be going through like a mental breakthrough. You might be feeling better with yourself. You might be feeling okay with what you're dealing with, and you feel like you're understanding yourself more versus having to take a pill every day and then hoping it improves your mood. I feel like psychedelic therapy with also speaking to a therapist, because I believe speaking is probably the most important thing. Speaking with somebody is definitely the most important thing, because and speaking honestly. Speak honestly and getting comfortable with the person you're speaking with, because just like with any kind of relationship, in the beginning, things are a little slow. You're a little skeptical. You're kind of slow to open up. And sometimes you're not always fully honest with yourself or with the other person. So I feel like once you talk to somebody a couple of times, you become more open. And that's when really the breakthroughs kind of happen. And psychedelic therapy kind of offers a similar thing in the sense that it's not changing your mood on a daily basis like a pill does. It's not changing the way serotonin is staying in your brain or in your body or in your chemistry, right? It's more of like a thing you do like for ketamine, and I know for like psilocybin, you don't do it every single day. You do it once, then you do it again a week later, or 2 weeks later, or 3 weeks later, and your breakthrough comes when you do these psychedelics, when you do these alternative therapies. And it's not necessarily changing your mood. It is changing your mood for that time being, but it's also changing your perspective in a way where it's having you become more open with yourself and people around you. So it's always a good experience. It can be scary at times because I'm sure you guys have heard of maybe like an ego death, which is super scary. You could be going through some shit. You could be going through some trauma when you're on psychedelics. But I feel like at the end, when you kind of compose yourself and you reflect on what happened, you realize that those things happen for a reason because you're battling something, right? So I always found that to be more beneficial than just taking a pill that just alters your mood. And that's basically what it's changing. It's trying to make you happy or change your anxiety or change your depression by just altering your brain chemistry. Even though psychedelics are doing a similar thing, I feel like there's more inner work that you're doing with psychedelics versus when you're taking an SSRI. So that's what I did my papers on, mate. I'll link them. I'll put it on the website, and then I'll probably link them on the bottom too if you guys want to read through them. I mean, two of them are like 3 pages. One's like 5. So if you're interested in that and want to learn more about psychedelics, psychedelic therapy, you know, they're going to be free for y'all to just take a look at, take a peek at. Maybe I'll do an episode of just on psychedelic therapy just so you guys can maybe learn more about it. But I know in Illinois, they're trying to pass a law to legalize psilocybin. That law has kind of been on standstill for about a year. Oregon has legalized them. Colorado has legalized them for the most part. And slowly different states are legalizing them because the success rate of using SSRIs and other drugs, it's not very high. It's like anywhere from 60% to maybe 70% of people benefit from them, but you're still leaving 40 to 30% people kind of empty-handed, you know? And just the fact that, hey, you got to take a pill every single day and you got to be dependent on that pill every single day. For sometimes people have to be dependent on that for the rest of their lives. People are on those pills for years, even though the goal is to get off of them. Sometimes coming off of them is rough. It sucks, you know, because you maybe have rebound depression that's maybe worse than what it started. Maybe you just can't survive without that medication, you know, and that kind of sucks to be dependent. So yeah, that's my little rant for today, guys. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Make sure you guys like, comment, subscribe. And if you guys have any cool episode ideas, let me know. And also check out the shop. I'm going to be a link below if you want to get some nursing gear. I'm also thinking about creating a different shop for just like just clothes in general. I had a goal of mine when it comes to the gym is I wanted to not buy gym clothes from any companies besides the clothes that I make. And that's kind of been on standstill because I've been busy. But I always liked fashion a little bit. I always liked the way people design things. And I always found that to be interesting. So maybe I'll open up just like a regular non-healthcare related shop for some merch. But yeah. But in the meantime, guys, check out what I got. And hope you guys have an amazing week. Hope you guys have an amazing weekend. Hope you guys learned something. Have a good one. Thank you. Bye-bye. Ooh, I gotta go. I've been working, told them please don't hit my phone. I'm in my zone, bruh, just leave me alone. Was on the road, but I swear I'm coming home. Now the drinks on me, I think we need a toast. See, I did it for me. Now my